Beloved, turn with me, please, to John 14, 15 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, which is our text for this morning. You remember that Jesus is at the table in what is called in the scriptures the Last Supper, and he is instructing his disciples, the 11 remaining in the room, as to what's going to be happening and how they're supposed to conduct themselves both in the coming day and in days after that. We've heard that they are disturbed because of the knowledge that someone among them is going to betray them. They've heard that Jesus is going to be denied by one of them. And then they've heard, and perhaps this is the most overwhelming thing, that Jesus is going away. And this leaves them in grief, sorrow, and confusion. And we come to this portion of the text as Jesus continues to comfort them. Beginning at verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and will be in you." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Almighty God, open our eyes to see our Lord Jesus and hear his words and be encouraged by what he has to say to us. As he speaks to his disciples, may we count us as among that number that he's interested in teaching and encouraging. And guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, beloved, it's interesting and comforting to observe how Jesus lovingly both comforts and instructs his disciples. As we saw last week, they're devastated, first because Judas is gone, then Peter was told that he will deny Jesus, but most devastating of all, Jesus is leaving them. I want you to watch carefully now how he handles this complex situation. You look at verses 1 through 3, he's basically saying, "Yes, I am leaving, but I will return, and we will never be apart again." And then in verses 6 through 14, he basically is saying, "Now focus on me as the way to live, as who you are to believe, and so come to know the Father better. You have glorious work to do." But having said that, he turns again to comfort them in a very big way. Here he gives important words of comfort that amount to, "I'm not going to leave you alone and without help." You can imagine the words have crossed their minds. What are we going to do without the Master here? How are we supposed to do the work that he's given us to do? Well, he's about to give them help. And the wonderful thing about his promise here is that it applies to us as his 21st century disciples as well as these first century disciples. He speaks of the Holy Spirit in this section in one of the most informationally dense descriptions of the third person of the Trinity found in Scripture. It is meant to comfort them and also to encourage and comfort us in our walk with Jesus. And what's interesting about this passage is that when Jesus speaks of him, he speaks as one with very, very personal knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is the triune God he's talking about. He's spoken of his relationship with the Father, and now he's speaking of his relationship with the third person of the Trinity as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus. He speaks of that third person. The first thing I want you to do is notice in the text the names he gives to the Holy Spirit. Yes, names, plural. He uses a word with a variety of shades of meaning, actually words with a variety of shades of meaning. The word that's used here is the one Greek term parakletos, which in English would be pronounced paraclete. As I say, there are a variety of shades of meaning in the context. The Greek term formally means one called to the side of another. Notice what he says in 16b, he will be with you, that is, the Spirit will be with you forever. There is the comfort. The Holy Spirit himself is Christ's gift of comfort to his disciples. But the word paraclete also means counselor and helper. With this word, Jesus also comforts them by promising to pray in verse 16a. He's going to ask the Father to give the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Now, the technical role of a paraclete is seen in that time in history, specifically in Judea and in Roman life, in a judicial or legal setting. A paraclete was someone who would accompany someone before a judge. We read in 1 John 2:1, "Beloved, if any of us sins, we have an advocate or paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And normally this paraclete would be the closest friend that you have, someone who knew you intimately, inside and out, a lifelong friend who would be believed when he spoke in your defense and support in the court. Now his role in the court, the paraclete's role in the court, would be to testify to the uprightness of the character of his friend, to tell the truth in his defense. And notice in 17a, the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So we're moving to consider here, and we must understand that Jesus is promising such a friend to those who should have been but would fail to be his paracletes in the next 12 hours. The 11 will all turn against him. 10 of them will run away, and one will actually deny him 3 times, all in the next 12 hours. So here's the comfort that Jesus offers his 11 friends in the room. Jesus will pray for his disciples. Now that's a mighty thing. Not too long ago in the narrative, he prayed for the Father to raise Lazarus from the dead and then called him forth from the grave. So when he prays to the Father, who loves him and would give him anything, he's going to pray that the Father will give the Spirit to them, his friends. And that comfort, my beloved friends in Christ, is no less meant for you now in the 21st century than it was meant for Jesus' 11 friends around the table in the first century. It is a comfort, he says, that's denied to the world, because they do not see him, they do not know him, they do not see or know the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they're committed to being his enemies unless Christ saves them. All men and women are born into the world and have always been born into the world since Adam as the enemies of Christ. But he's going to send the Spirit, and they can't know him or understand him or see him because they are Christ's enemies. But his disciples did know the Holy Spirit. Look at 17b. "But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." When Peter and the others were with Jesus, he is saying they saw the Holy Spirit. They lived with the Holy Spirit. They were with the Holy Spirit. They saw the Holy Spirit, and they also saw the Father. In verse 9 and the second part, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And he's basically saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Holy Spirit. If you've been with me, you have been with the Holy Spirit. It's a very stunning and mind-bending truth, but it's in a pleasant way. It's hard to grasp. But when Jesus was present with his 12 disciples, all these years, all 3 persons of the Trinity were present. And now he's promised that he's going to ask the Father to send the Spirit to help them and be present with them himself. which is the same as Jesus being present, though they would not see his physical appearance any more than they would see the Father's physical appearance. I know this is hard to understand, but we don't need to understand it comprehensively. We just need to understand that when Jesus makes a promise, he means it. The second thing I want you to notice in the text is that Jesus was telling them they will not be poorer for his absence, but richer by far. Notice how he describes the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will be with you forever. He will be with you forever. That's the second part of verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. He would never leave them, ever. He will abide with them. He will remain with them, just as Jesus did for 3 years and will continue to do. Remember Matthew 28:20. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. That was Jesus' promise. Just as Jesus taught them, just as he was present to do miracles when he was with them, just as he loved and corrected them and comforted them, Jesus is promising the Holy Spirit will do these very same things. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He is here now. He will be with you forever. Think again of the variegated or rich variety of the definition of paraclete. A paraclete is one called to be at your side as a counselor and helper, one who is not going to leave his friend on his own in court, an advocate, a supporter, one who knows the truth about his friends, the truth as it is in Jesus. His friends would testify to him as just and righteous in God's sight with the righteousness of his Son. The Holy Spirit would testify to them about that before God. But this Holy Spirit would also be a friend who would teach them and correct them as they interacted with Scripture in teaching the church after Pentecost, just as Jesus did for 3 years. Again, this was Jesus being present with them as he had been for 3 years. He's going to be with them forever. And on earth, the Spirit of Christ will be with them. The situation will only change in that they will not physically see Jesus. And this is the promise he's giving. That you can see, I hope, how this would be comforting to them. But dear Christian, this should be comforting to you as well, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life too. He teaches you the Scriptures. He teaches you to pray, Romans chapter 8. He intercedes for you with sighs too deep for words. He prays for you. He comforts you in times of grief and sorrow. He's the author of the Scriptures, which is why he can teach you the Scriptures. He corrects you through the Scriptures that you might be an adequate servant of the Lord. And he uses your Scripture-informed conscience to do it. He teaches you about Jesus in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He uses the Scripture to convict you of sin. And he teaches you again and again that Jesus died for your sin. And so, beloved, just as Jesus was with his disciples for 3 years and then forever by the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit is with you as well. Now, here's the final point of application I want to make to you about all of this in a practical way. First, Jesus is always present with you by his Spirit, no matter where you are. The Old Testament saint Job, in Job 23:10, spoke of him, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Well, you and I, beloved, are tried daily. We're tested by the world, the flesh, the devil. We are tested by circumstances, by work, by family problems, by finances, by the stress of the coronavirus isolation and a whole myriad of other situations, we are tried and tested daily. But know this, beloved, that in such trying times, all three persons of the Trinity are with you, because the Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus is always for you and never against you, and the Holy Spirit is the promise of that. The second thing I want you to realize is that one of the worst trials you face each day is not a virus. It's not other people. It's not your work. It's not your children. It's not your husband or your wife or your leaders. It's not even financial or emotional hardship. But your biggest trial, your worst trials that you face each day are connected with your sin which is a killer. Romans 8:12, the Apostle Paul writes, "For if you live according to the flesh, you must die. The wages of sin is death," you see. An old Puritan named John Owen wrote this in his book, Mortification of Sin. "You must always be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." Now, Scripture commands us to mortify our sin in Romans 8:13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you must die." And now we are told that the Holy Spirit has been given to help us, because killing sin is not something we're capable of. But if you remember what Jesus says in verse 16, you'll be encouraged that in the midst of trying to mortify or put your sin to death, the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. And beloved, I want you to take heart and courage in this. You are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, able to put your sin to death. I know. You have a lifetime of sinful habits, maybe a list of sinful habits, a couple volumes of books long. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you put those sins to death. Don't ever give up in the fight against sin. Rather, continue to plead with the Spirit for grace to do it. And you see, that is one way he corrects us. And third and finally, I want you to remember the two advocates you always have fighting for you and pleading for you in the presence of the Father. 1 John 2:1 tells us, "We have Jesus Christ the righteous, who never ceases to remind the Father that he took your sin upon himself and gave you his righteousness." Your second advocate, of course, as we've been saying, is the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for you with groans too deep to be uttered as he prays for you in accordance with the will of God. Ah, with such friends, persons who stick closer to you than a brother, you cannot fail to attain to heaven and sinless perfection. Much less can you fail to have God hear your prayers and answer them as the Holy Spirit helps you form them. Now, if you do not know this Savior, then you have much to fear because of your sin, and not just the fact that your prayers are not heard. I urge you to repent of your sin and trust in Jesus right now, and that the Holy Spirit will help you with if you ask him. So by way of conclusion, I ask you, are you finding yourself discouraged by life these days? You are not alone. And I don't mean that you have other company. I mean your Father in heaven, the Holy One of Israel, is disciplining his church and convicting men of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, no matter if the world listens or not. But your Father in heaven is not heartless. He loves you and knows the way he has sent us all into. Especially in these days, can be lonely and painful. We may yet face hardships we have never known before in our days. But know this, that Jesus prays for you and comes to you by his Spirit, that he is closer to you than your next breath, and that he loves you with an everlasting love. He will never leave you nor forsake you, not ever. Oh, my friend, if you do not trust him now, Do not wait any longer. Repent of your sin and believe in Jesus, and he will take you safely all the way home to heaven. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the promise of a friend who will stick closer to us than a brother, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us forever, all the way to glory and beyond. We pray that our faith will be in your promise, and we ask you to keep your promise and help us to walk faithfully by his grace and power. And we ask this in your name and for your sake. Amen.